We are joined this weekend on Motherload Views by Calavera CAO Albert Ault. CAO Ault, as we wrapped up the last segment, we were talking about cannabis rules and restrictions. Any more to add on that topic?
Well, I do have some data on our local program if you're interested in hearing our permit data and where we stand on some of the permits that have been issued.
How are the numbers looking? Yes.
We have, at this point, and it goes up every day, but the data that I had as of yesterday, we have a total of 110 applications. The program was originally adopted for a full build-out of approximately 192 applications. Of the 110 that we have, we've issued and people are authorized to grow 23 permits. Those have primarily been outdoor permits, but we do have one indoor permit that's approved and four that are mixed light permits, but the majority of them are outdoor grows. We have an additional 60 that have submitted and received what's known as a letter of conditional authorization. So when that's issued from the local government entity, then it authorizes the individual to go through their state process. So once they've been issued that letter from our county, then it's pretty much a given that they just need to meet the state requirements. But at the letter of conditional approval, they pay all of their permit fees to the county. So if you add the 23 that have been issued and the 60 that have paid their fees, we're over $1 million now in permit fees that have been paid by either approved or potentially approved growers at this point.
And so is there a cap as to the number of permits that can go out, or could it just keep going larger and larger?
Originally, the way it was contemplated in the current ordinance was that the full build-out of the program would be 192 permits, and that was really based on those that were in good standing under the urgency ordinance and then met the new requirements that were built into the current ordinance.
So once you reach that 192 permits, how does it go from there? Does it take somebody having to give their permit back into the county, or can they sell their permits, or how does that work?
Well, they certainly can sell their permits. So there would be a couple ways the program could change, and the first would be at the direction of the board. If for some reason the policy direction of the board was to either grow the program or reduce the program, they could certainly choose to do that. But if we just stayed static at the 192, the fluctuation really would be within sale of applications within those who have been approved. And we have seen that already, not only some of the 23 that have been issued, but in the 110 total that have been applied for, we know that some of them have been purchased from an individual or business that was previously qualified.
Then when it comes to revenue to the county, is that something that's paid like on a one-time deal, or is it every year they have to pay a certain amount of money?
There's two sets of ways that an individual will pay. First, initially, it's the permit fees, and that for our permit is about $12,500. So we've had 80 either businesses or individuals that have paid their permit fees of $12,500. And then ultimately, once they begin growing or cultivating, then they're responsible for Measure C taxes. And in our current year budget, we anticipated about $1 million in tax revenue for Measure C from the cultivation permits that have been issued. Although we anticipate over time, as we get more approved permits and our tax receipts begin to come in, that money will grow certainly over time.
You know, from a regulation standpoint, is it something like kind of the building department oversees, or is it something the sheriff's office would regulate complaints? How does that work?
The permit issuance and monitoring of the program initially is under the CAO's office. And we have a team that's a Division of Cannabis Control that's monitoring all the permits. But they work very closely with the building department, with planning, and also public works in many cases, because many of the cultivation sites need grading permits and things like that. On the enforcement side and the ongoing monitoring, that will be on the regulated side. That'll be through code enforcement. And the sheriff's office links closely with us, but they're primarily focused on the illegal cultivation.
Well, we've got just a few more minutes left on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. I might go back to COVID-19. Any other message you'd like to get out just from the county perspective and how things are going?
Well, probably the most important messaging is regardless of where you stand on your political view of COVID-19, and the views are varied on that, and I appreciate that they are, but we've seen disease transmission increase in our county as many other counties. So the most important thing to convey is that, again, no matter how you see politics, it's very important for us to take care of our friends and neighbors and our colleagues in the county. So I would really encourage using the coverings, all of the warnings that public health has consistently pushed out with making sure your sanitary procedures are high, that you minimize your interaction with individuals outside your household, and definitely minimize travel, particularly outside of the county. And those basic things will help us keep our friends and neighbors safe in our county.
Public Health Department, you know, leading that local response and effort. Is there quite a bit of coordination with your office and other divisions of county government as well?
Yes. Our Health and Human Services Director, Kristen Stranger, has been amazing. She deserves a shout out. But we, with the county administrator's team, with OES, building, environmental health, certainly council, and our economic development department, and then the city as well, we've coordinated really tightly with the city. So that's kind of our core team on setting the policies moving forward on how we handle the COVID response. And we meet regularly to make sure we're all on the same page, that messaging's correct, and that we're carrying the program forward in a very consistent way throughout the county, and that the city's implementing their processes very tightly with us as well. So my appreciation to City Administrator Melissa Eads for helping us so closely as well.
Well, City County Administrator Ault, you know, we've got just about a minute left. Any other issues coming up in the next coming weeks or months before the supervisors that the county residents should take note of?
Probably the most exciting thing that I can give in a minute is that if you haven't been to the county campus lately, if you do make it out there, you'll see that the old jail has been fully demolished. There is only a pile of rubble right now that's being crushed into road base. And by, I think, the end of the week, certainly by next week, there will be nothing but a flat, safe parking lot there where the old jail building once stood.
Good to know. Well, Mr. Ault, we appreciate your update today and coming on to get everybody up to speed on what's happening with Calaveras County government.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Again, we thank Calaveras CAO Albert Ault for being our guest on this weekend's Mother Lode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. A programming note, next week on Mother Lode Views, we'll get an update on a major project that's underway in the Phoenix Lake area, some dredging of Phoenix Lake. It's going to be some major improvements once it's completed. We'll get an update on that project and get a timeline on what lies ahead and some of the benefits of getting that project going and eventually completed. We'll be joined on the telephone by a couple of officials with the Tuolumne Utilities District. Again, that's next week on Mother Lode Views. We'll see you back then next week.
You've been listening to Mother Lode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Mother Lode. Mother Lode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.